Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life with best-selling author and coach Kathy Williams, a show to help you tap into the support of the universe and access the abundance that's available in every area of your life. Listen in for conversations and tools to create more ease, joy, and possibility with family, relationships, business, and living. Kathy's joyful perspective will help you tap into your own wisdom and create a life of presence and abundance your way. Listen live on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or anytime on iTunes or at IOM FM.
Welcome to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. It's Kathy Williams. I'm so delighted you're listening today, and I have one of my favorite people on to talk about co-creation, which we're doing, right, by being on together. Oh, so Sophie Michelle, welcome to the show, and I look
forward
to talking co-creation with you.
I know, right? It's been something we've been doing every month together for the last few months. So that's a fun topic for us, huh?
Absolutely. Oh, and, you know, just the idea of co-creation, you mentioned, means giving some things up.
Yes, it does, for sure. And I mean, we've both been married, so we both know that even in marriage, right? Like sometimes when you're co-creating marriage, you have to not necessarily want to be the one that's in charge or in control, you know, all the time. So it's a co-creation.
Well, and when you try to be in control all the time, things start to backfire, don't they?
People don't like being controlled. People don't like being controlled.
So before we dive in too far, I'd like to invite you over to IOM.com to call into the show. That's also where you can find replays. If you would like to come back to this show or a past show, they're all there at IOM's radio, IOM.fm. Also on iTunes, iHeartRadio, wherever you find your favorite podcasts, we're there. And if you have questions for the show as well, you can go to meetkathywilliams.com. Of course, you know, we at meetkathywilliams.com, we won't get your show questions while we're live, but we can always bring back this topic or one like it and explore some different aspects to it as well. So you can head over to meetkathywilliams.com to submit those show ideas and questions and also to get a free Money Rain exercise. So, oh my gosh, as we dive into just the idea of co-creation, Sophie, something that's been fun for you and I to do together. It also brings to mind some of those co-creations that totally didn't work. Do you have any of those?
Oh, yes. I mean, any relationship that, you know, it ends. So, like, I've been married and divorced, and then I was with somebody for 4 years, and I broke up about a year ago. So those are co-creations that I would say worked for a while and then didn't work anymore. Let's see. I tried to co-host radio shows with people before, and it did not work. one of us was, you know, like, I think you and I, it works because we see each other as colleagues. So there's not one person that has more authority than the other. But a lot of times, I guess people a lot of times put me on a pedestal. So if I try to do something with somebody who's putting me on a pedestal, then the imbalance, it just doesn't work. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. What else? I I co-created paintings with my kids, so I love painting, and sometimes I bring my kids into my paintings, and well, let's just say that it doesn't always turn out the way I would like it to. Although that's art, so it's a whole other story. What else?
Yeah, having a family is a total co-creation, isn't it? And a lot of the times it doesn't go your way.
I mean, very rarely, very rarely. My daughter this morning, we have a guest who's staying at the house, so the guest is sleeping in the living room. So in the morning, I try to keep my daughter a little bit quiet so our guest can sleep in. Not an easy task. And yeah, that co-creation is often failing.
Goodness. Yeah.
But I want to bring up the fact that co-creation is not just with a physical person. And for me, I co-create, my whole life is a co-creation, meaning there's usually a spiritual insight or spiritual input before I create something. And then that spiritual source will help me put that thing together, give it life. So that's where I really had to learn to co-create, because I realized it is so much better if I actually listen to that spiritual insight.
I hear ya.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think last year around this time, I had a human design reading, and it was fascinating because my friend's wife does them, and he kept saying, "Kathy, I really think you should get a reading. Kathy, I think it would help you." And finally one day he said, "Kathy, I'm not recommending you get a reading because I need the, my wife needs the $175. And then finally I did it, right? And one of the things she brought to the forefront of, you know, my awareness is the way I create is really by invitation. If by an invitation of the universe or an invitation of someone else, it's not by Kathy thinks this is a great class idea and Kathy's going to do it. It's really like, oh, my friend's talking about how hard it is to be an empath. And then, oh, that's a really great class, right? I put that together and that flies off the shelf.
Yeah.
And if I think like, oh, well, I think lots of people procrastinate, so maybe I'll do a class on procrastination. And then I do that and like six people come, right? Because it's like the universe inviting me and me just responding versus like me being like, this is a good one, let's go with this. Totally different way of creating. And she helped bring that to my awareness, and I recognize that in almost every occasion in which things work really well, it was due to me just kind of responding to life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you and I, when we came up with the topic for this week's radio show, I gave you another topic before this one. And you were like, no, that's not, we shouldn't talk about this right now. Like, it's not a bad topic, but not right now, right?
So this is where, yeah.
Well, it's fine. But I really appreciate that, because that to me is co-creation. Like, one of us says, hey, let's do that. And the other one says, no. And nobody gets offended. It's just cool. Let's find something else. Like, it's not a big deal, because I don't make the topics a difference. And I think a lot of times when we want to create something, if let's say we co-creating with another person, and then the other person says, well, that doesn't work for me. And we're like, oh my gosh, my feelings are hurt. Then, okay, you not being hurt is certainly more important than the two people creating together. And that's where the problem is. Versus, oh, okay, no problem, we're not going to do that, we'll do something else. Then the two people creating together. And that's the number one key to success for co-creation, is are you willing to not take it personally?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, and the more we can not take it personally, the more ease and flow and ideas come in, because we're not in resistance, right? If we make it about, like, oh, something like my idea, we're making it all about us. Instead of like, oh, okay, cool, right? Well, what else could we do? What would work for both of us? And that's one of my favorite questions, like, in my family, with my relationship, like, with co-creations in general, like, what would work for all of us? Because why would I not want it to work for all of us?
Yes.
It's got to work for all
exactly.
of us.
Exactly. It has to be win-win for everyone involved. And actually, that's a business principle that I love applying that business. If it doesn't win, it's not a win for everybody. You should never, never enter a contract that is not a win for everybody. If one person loses, then the contract is never going to lead to something great for the people involved. So that to me is a perfect example. Never enter a non-win-win situation. Everybody has to win. Everybody has to win. Absolutely.
I love that. Yeah. Because that allows the project to grow too.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yes. No, I mean, I was going to say, like, there are so many examples of co-creation. So we talked about marriage, relationships, parenting, so family as a group, business, whether you are creating a product or you are negotiating with vendors. I would say even with the body, like sometimes you're creating with your body. For me, with spirit, you create with spirit. What else? What other co-creation are there? What other co-creation?
In general, any interaction is a co-creation.
Okay. Any interaction is a co-creation, right?
Yeah.
You're showing up, responding to what the other person is bringing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Politics. So, lately, are we've been very involved in our local politics as a family lately, because the school system was going to shut down some of our local schools. So the kids obviously got really upset. And as parents, what we did is we gave them a voice. So at the board meetings, instead of just the parents talking, we decided to have the kids talk and express their opinion. And that was awesome. It was a real co-creation. So the city listened to the kids. You know, the parents listened to the kids. The kids listened to the parents and said, it was really cool to see that co-creation as a city. Some of the schools had to close, but in my opinion, their choices was correct. They had to do some closing, unfortunately, but it was a good choice that they made. And so it was really cool to see, even in politics, if you are really wanting to affect your local politics, you can. It's a real co-creation, you know? So I think there's co-creation everywhere, and we can absolutely take advantage of it. And there are some keys to making a co-creation succeed. But So I talked about the not getting your feelings hurt, but that really ties into I know for the title I said you're no longer the hero, but really it's just not making it about you. A co-creation is really about either two people or a community of people. So if you make it about you, then it's no longer a co-creation by definition. If you're making it about you, then you're the boss and they're the employee, pretty much. So a co-creation by definition is going to require that it's not about the person, you know, in you. And that really takes knowing who you are, which if you have worked with me, you know that this is one of my favorite topics, because you cannot do anything successful unless you know who you are. So if you are willing to co-create with somebody, you've got to know who you are, right?
And be clear, and we can talk about, you know, some of the keys to that clarity and communication and all the different things required as the show goes on. And really, when we're in co-creation, it's not about us, it's not about them, even though it has to be win-win. It's really about what you're creating. The project, the outcome, the what it is you'd like to come together and achieve.
Yeah. So I agree with that, and I've worked for a company that I'm not going to say the name of the company right now, but I work for a company that is an international company and does very, very well. So they're at the top of their industry. And it's very interesting because the industry wants them to do something different. The industry is putting a lot of pressure on them to do something different. And they every year they consider it. Every year they look at it, and every year they decide not to do it. So their decision is actually not based on the community as a whole, but it's based on who they are and what would work best for their vision, their mission of who they are. And that is really inspiring to me because it's the type of co-creation. First of all, when the economy went down in 2008, they were still doing really well. They did not get hit by the economy. So it is a perfect example of, okay, so people are going to get upset with you because you're not doing what they want you to do. But as a, you're doing this as a, for your community, for who you are, and that works. And it works better in the long term. I love it. I love it.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Following your own awareness instead of what's expected of you. And as we go along in the show, we'll talk about expectations and how they impact co-creation, because they do in quite a big way. Yeah.
Yeah, they sure do. And it's so, I don't know if we are going to get hit by the break or not, but knowing who you are, to me, it takes a little bit of work because, oh, we're getting hit by the break. Are we taking a break now?
We knew it was coming.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
We have all read about or heard about becoming more spiritual, about working with our energy, the awakening, the shift, about being our authentic selves, living our purpose, reaching our true potential. The challenge doesn't lie in the knowledge, it lies in the execution. The struggle becomes connecting to that limitless self-healing part that each one of us has and gaining control of who we truly are. Hi, I'm Dr. Reverend Aisha Hogan, and you are invited to join me on a master's practice on Om Times, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard and 11 a.m. Pacific Standard.
Would you you like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating Radical Abundance and Access Consciousness Bars and Foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule, to connect with Kathy, or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. It's Kathy Williams and Sophie Michelle, and today we are talking about co-creation and getting out of your own way and letting go of the need to be right, to be the person in charge and the hero. And that involves a lot of qualities and different capacities and choices. So before we jump back in, where can people find you, Sophie?
SophieMichalko.com, SophieMichalko.com. And if you go to the coaching tab, you will get all kind of possibilities, including a couple of free gifts. And I'm actually there's one up there and there's a second one coming about how to make how to cultivate the mindset to triple your revenue.
Oh, nice. That sounds really fun. Who wouldn't want that?
What?
And you can always find me at meetkathywilliams.com. In fact, and that's with Kathy with a K and Williams with an S. And tomorrow I'm doing an online class about relationship cords. How to release cords, undesirable connections between you and another person, whether that's your mother, your spouse, your child, your babysitter, your whatever. And I'm doing this one because someone asked me, and someone else said, Kathy, you have the best meditation I've ever heard on doing that. So we're going to practice that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And also because of the power of doing that. I mean, I learned about it initially from a Hawaiian shaman, a kahuna, and it just changed my life. It changed so many things about relationships and speaking up and codependency and all of that. And I'm excited to share that with you. So you can, and of course, it kind of plays in with co-creation, right? So you can find that class at meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming. And that's where all the upcoming stuff is, in fact, and it's like $22. It's not very much and an amazing thing that you can use for the rest of your life. And if you can't be there live, or even if you can, you'll get the recordings right there. And then for the following 2 weeks, I'll also have a couple of other classes on the unwanted jobs you've taken on in relationship and other stuff like that, to peel that away and have some more freedom and ease in connecting with people. So all of that is over at meetkathywilliams.com. Yeah, my assistant really actually begged me to do these classes. I was like,
wow.
Yeah, she's like, that's Kathy, awesome. You know things. She's been in my classes. She's like, you know things about relationships that people need. So I was like, oh, okay.
Very
so
nice.
Again, that idea of the universe inviting you to something and saying yes. So that was that, right in action.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. So you were kind of telling us a little story, and then we started to get cut off by,
Yeah. So before the break, I was mentioning the idea of getting to know yourself, because I think a lot of people assume they know themselves because they live with themselves every day, and, you know, and they're doing self-development classes, and they're like, oh, I've already asked all these questions. I know who I am. I know who I am. And I'm like, that's cool. So you're telling me that nothing pushes your buttons, right? Because basically, if something pushes your buttons, it's just that there's something unresolved in your life. And that's where I say you have to know yourself to the point where not, like, there are things that are going to bug you, but you will no longer have an emotional reaction to it. You'll be like, yeah, I don't like that. And that will be it. But no more, I'm going to slap this person. Like, you will no longer feel like that. And when you really do the work of knowing yourself, then you can enter any kind of relationship. Relationships with people you don't like, but just because you have to work with them, it becomes easier because you know who you are. That means you don't need approval, you don't need acknowledgement, you don't need to know that you've done a good job, because you know that you have. You know that no matter what, you do a good job. So it makes things so much easier. For me, and I speak about it in my free gift that's coming up, but for me, getting to know you requires time with yourself, actually looking at those things that trigger you and writing it down. So I use a pen and a piece of paper, and I write down, this situation bugged me, and this is how I reacted. And then asking, why did this situation bug me? The situation bugged me because my mom used to say that to me. Okay, so when my mom used to say that to me, how did that feel? What did I make it mean? And then, oh, I made it mean that she didn't like me. Okay, cool. Now we can actually get to the root problem instead of focusing on the situation. And when you look at the root problem, so many times, Kathy, it's crazy. You'll be like, that's insane. Like, no, I don't think I am an ugly duckling anymore. Because when I was a little girl, somebody told me I was the ugly duckling. I'm like, no, I don't think, I know that being an ugly duckling has nothing to do with how much money I'm going to make. Like, but how many of us have associated the two? You'll be surprised, right? So doing this work of getting to know you and getting to know what triggers you is really going to allow you to have no ego when you enter a relationship.
Well, and it's so beautiful because in that way, everything that triggers you becomes a beautiful gift to help you explore. Well, what's really underneath this? Right?
Yeah.
And dig it up and heal it, in essence, to help it lose its significance. And journaling is an amazing tool for that. That's one of the tools I recommend the most, because you can see so much about yourself in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you are spiritual, you can also use it to ask spirit for help and advice while you are journaling.
Absolutely.
So it's all good. It's all good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It just kind of uncovers the what's going on inside and helps you process what's going on
Absolutely.
In the outside world as well, and how you respond to that. You know, I was thinking about some of the co-creations I've had that didn't go so well before the show.
Oh.
And just kind of looking at, in part of it was looking at what people would say versus what they were really capable of, right? What they would say they were going to do versus what they were actually going to do. And how the times that I've been most challenged in co-creation are when what they said they were going to do did not match what they actually did, right? And so me expecting that they were going to do it, led to disappointment, right? They can't disappoint me. I can only feel disappointed because of my own expectations.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you're right. You're so right.
Right?
How many hurts do we have due to expectation, right?
Way too many. Like in love, we do that. Yeah, if so-and-so loved me, they would X, Y, and Z like my last boyfriend did. Well, not really. This person is not your last boyfriend. Right? They're different.
Yeah.
you know, part of my hang-ups were people saying, oh, I'll do the advertising. And then a week goes by and they haven't done anything. 2 weeks go by and they don't do anything. And me not asking, oh, by the way, is there something you would like from me to get the ball rolling? Or shall we hire it out? Or I noticed it's not getting done. So what can we do to move that forward? You know, like expecting that they're going to do what they say they're going to do and then feeling bitter and pissed off when it doesn't actually occur. And then last minute, I'm the person who has to get it done. And well, they go off to like Burning Man or something. True story.
Sounds like you have a story behind it.
I do.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You know, expectations can be easily gone if we express what we need from each other, right? So that's another thing that happens in co-creation is when we co-create, it's like, okay, I expect you to do this and you expect me to do that, right? And then if it doesn't happen, or like at least we are clear on the expectation. And then if it doesn't happen, what is the backup plan? What do we do if it doesn't happen? So that communication will also help get some of the expectations taken care of if we express it. And then for me also is the character of the person. So I won't say yes to co-creation with another person unless I know their character. And what I mean by that is, are they people who follow through? Are they people who like money? Are they people who have a sense of humor? Like, if you're going to work with me, you better have those three things because I'm cuckoo. So if you have to follow through and you have to have a great sense of humor and you have to like money, cool. Now, I really need to know that person's character. So sometimes I think we get into co-creation, maybe in relationships, a little bit too fast because we don't know the other person's character before we do, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and I love these questions, you know, I got from Access Consciousness, you know, and I use them a lot when I'm going to co-create, whether that's be on someone's team or have them be on my team. You know, when I'm on someone's team, it's often to host an event or do something like that. And I like to ask them because it just gives me a sense of awareness about, oh, well, there might be something to look at here. And there are, will it be easy? And it doesn't necessarily have to be easy for me to choose it, but it's nice for me to have an awareness of whether it will or there might not be some ease going into it. Will it be fun? Right, again, accounting does not have to be fun, right? It doesn't have to be fun for me to choose someone to do my accounting. Like, I don't have to have a yes. But it's useful to have kind of an awareness. Oh, no, it feels like super contracted and not good. Then maybe yeah. I'll go look around for someone else. Will it be easy? Will it be fun? Will I learn something? I would like to go into a co-creation and learn and grow and expand. Will I be happier afterwards? This is the big one for me, right? Because
I know,
not
right?
Everything has to be fun, right? But I would like to be happier afterwards after choosing this endeavor with this person. And if I get a no or a sense of, not even a no, but a sense of contraction to any of those, it just helps me look and sort of explore and see if there's something to clear up before I choose this relationship or endeavor, or maybe even choose someone else to have this endeavor with. Yeah. You know, so I like doing that because it brings my awareness to, you know, what's going to happen here.
For the accountant, I actually know an accountant who has a Margaritaville machine in her office, and she makes margaritas for her clients, and she uses it. I mean, she pays for it as like an office expense, you know? So, because that's her way of being fun. And just like you said, accounting is not always fun, but she, you know, she's like, wait, I'm going to make accounting fun.
There you go, you know, and so, and by the way, if you're an accountant, I did not say you're not fun, right?
Like, exactly.
I just said, I don't necessarily need that element of my life to have that much fun to it, even though I think we can bring a sense of lightness and play to every endeavor.
Okay, so expectations don't work. But asking yourself is this person or is this situation matching what's important for me, what matters to me, that is important. So we're definitely talking about two different things. Expectations, no, but knowing what is critical for you, yes, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. sense of humor for me, it's very good. Yeah. If you don't have a sense of humor, I'm probably not going to get along with you.
Right. And so, you know, expecting, well, and what's beautiful about like knowing what's crucial to you and different from expectations is, you know, if something's really important for you and the other person does not have that quality, you could actually maybe bring someone else in who has that quality. You know, if someone's not a connector, right? Like one of the women in my business said yesterday, oh, I'm so happy that the new person on your team is loves to be a connector because that's a weakness for me, you know? And it's just like if this person does not have that, or there's a woman I love in my business, Laureen, she does not like doing emails. Well, she didn't tell me that until a few months in. And then she was just like, Kathy, I don't love doing emails. And I'm like, awesome. I can have this other person do them, right? Like, I would love to know what you don't love doing. That's not to say that you won't ever do it, but, you know, I'd rather have you doing the things you're really good at and fast at and enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so key. If you have somebody do something that they don't like, it takes forever. It is not worth it.
Maybe you've noticed that in your own life. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sophie. And we'll be back, everybody. Thanks for listening to Sexy Mom Abundant Life. We're going to finish off the show with some tools and things to pay attention to in co-creation.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Like to have a life of more clarity and abundance? What's possible for you when you get out of your own way? Connect with Kathy Williams for private coaching or join her online to transform your relationship with abundance in every area of your life with the Radical Abundance Course. Kathy also travels, facilitating Radical Abundance and Access Consciousness Bars and Foundation around the world. She'll be in London, Hawaii, Hilton Head, and other fun locations soon. Visit www.meetkathywilliams.com for a class schedule, to connect with Kathy, or invite her to your region and get some free goodies.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sexy Mom Abundant Life, everyone. This is Kathy Williams here with Sophie Michelle, and we are talking Hello. About co-creation, which we do a lot of together.
Oh,
and
we do. We do.
Knowing yourself, being clear in communication, which is another of the keys that sometimes I haven't been so good at. And before we go in that direction, you know, looking at our own expectations of the other, of what they say they do versus what, you know, they really do, and keep checking in. I think that for me, that's been a big one too, because like you can trust me pretty much that if I tell you, hey, I'll put that ad in the next publication, or, oh, I'll call that person. By next week, I'll have it done. But not everyone's like that. And so I have headed into a lot of co-creations with the expectation that everyone is like that. You say you're going to do this thing, and then you'll do it, and we'll get back together, and it'll be done. And that's not necessarily true.
Excuse me. Yeah, I look at those situations with a question of what's more important here. Is the relationship more important or the creation more important? Because sometimes like, okay, so this person did not do what they said they would do, and bringing it up may be the best thing to do, but going further than bringing it up could actually destroy the relationship with that person. So you really have to look at, is the creation so important that I'm going to damage my relationship with that person? And you'll be surprised, but a lot of times it isn't. A lot of times your relationship with that person is going to be more important than what gets created together.
And you know, one of the things I've learned to ask that has just sort of lubricated the way is, you know, oh, I'm confused. This is what I thought was going to happen. Can you help me? Because what happens is that gets them on my side because it's not an attack. They're now helping me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm confused. Can you help me out here? You know, I thought I heard this, and maybe I'm wrong. And then, you know, it creates so much ease because then you're looking together rather than when you come at someone like, well, you said you were going to, you know, put the ad in the publication, they come back and they have a sense of being defensive often.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny. This reminds me of something. So I was making a right. I was driving and making a right yesterday in the street, and this woman decided to cross the street, and she was right. I mean, it was the perfect time for her to cross the street, except my car was coming. So she decided, well, it doesn't matter that my car is coming. She's still going to cross, right? And she, And I know she saw me because she looked at me, and then she stopped and she made that face. Like, you know, this is a crosswalk, right? I know you guys cannot see me, but I'm like, come on, this is a crosswalk. And I looked at her and I smiled. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I let her go, no problem. I was in the middle of the intersection, but that's fine. And then I went and I was like, you know, that doing that did not help anybody. It did not help her because she had to stop instead of moving forward. It did not help me because it didn't make me feel good. It helped nobody. Except maybe for half a second, she felt superior to me. Like, I was in the car, she wasn't, so she got to feel superior. But that superiority did no good to no one. And it really, how many times do we do that in life? Well, you said you were going to do that, and you're right. I said I was going to do that, and I totally did not do that. But is it really that important for you to feel superior to me to actually point it out this way? So I really appreciate how you presented it. And like even with my kids, I know I missed the mark of so many times because we're trying to rush and, you know, you didn't put your shoes on. I told you to put your shoes on and all of that. And I wish
for you too.
I wish we were not. Oh my gosh. Yes. 14 years old and I still have to remind them to put their shoes on. So I wish we were not rushed by time, because if we were not rushed by time, like, hey, okay, explain this to me. You're going to go outside and it's 40 degrees outside and you don't have socks and shoes on. Explain to me how that works, right? Like, do you have superpowers on your feet or something? Like, I wish I could do that more often than be like, come on, put your shoes on. You know, like, that's not good co-creation. The pushing somebody to do something, that is not powerful co-creation.
Well, and here's where I think the journaling comes in, or just the self-reflection. It's like, what are these instances that create pain or create like snafus? If I'm with this person and it occurs again and again and again, like, what can I change about the situation? Like, what's in my power? Oh, well, you know what? I'm going to put on this timer. And 5 minutes before we have to leave, it's going to ring. So that's the time to get your shoes on. You know, otherwise we'll just take them out to the car and you can walk barefoot to the car. You know, like,
yeah.
What's actually, again, returning to that question, what's going to work for everyone? And you know, because I've recognized for my kids, like, I can't actually say, hey, guys, it's time to go now. I have to say, hey, guys, we're going to leave in 10 minutes. And now, hey, guys, we're going to leave in 5 minutes. And now, okay, now it's time to go, right? Because it, like, for them, and I'm not saying this will work for you, but just for them, I've had enough moments of pain of trying to usher people out the door and recognize, okay, this is what's going to work better for all of us. Like, me being the warning signal a couple of times, including, like, at the swimming pool and wherever else. Like,
yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So identifying those situations. Yeah, right. Identifying
like,
those situations.
10 minutes before the show. 5 minutes before the show.
In which, like, this situation continuously causes me aggravation. Like,
yeah.
What can I shift about it? Because ultimately, my aggravation is on me. You know, and so I have the power to change something about that, even if it's just my attitude.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We do. We can change anything, right, Kathy?
Right. And
actually,
say it again.
Well, actually, the only thing we can change is ourselves. We cannot expect somebody else to change.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, yes, you can change anything provided you're looking at you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And
well, okay.
You know, go ahead.
No, but I want to encourage people to get into co-creation situations, especially if they're uncomfortable or they're, you know, unusual things like you would not have thought about doing, or I really would encourage anybody to do it, because there is so much growth to be had from entering those co-creation situations. There's so much possibilities that you can create. So I really encourage everybody to get into those.
Well, and one of the things I see happen a lot is, let's say small business owners, or they call themselves small business mm-hmm. owners, resisting bringing someone else onto the team because they're like, oh, I don't have the money, right?
Yeah.
And so therefore I'm going to do everything myself. I'll do the advertising. I'll do the, you know, be here and make my stuff. I have some people who are artists and jewelers. So I'll do all of it, right? I'll put together the events. And it's like, actually, your time is much better spent often. I'm not going to say entirely, but often in your zone of genius, right?
Yeah.
You know what you're really good at. And that allows you to release the parts that you struggle with, like making flyers, you know, formatting and getting it just so. And someone else could whip that out in 20 minutes and it takes you an hour and a half. You know, and so
yeah.
your $20 you would spend on this person or, you know, whatever it is, would be much better spent in that direction and have you make 5 pieces of jewelry, right, than you trying to effort for an hour and a half on this thing you don't actually like doing. And
yeah.
And so when put in that perspective, it's like, who would add to the business? Who could I add to my life that would make it so much greater, exponentially greater? And, you know, I remember myself having some hangups about inviting people into my team. And now I'm thriving so much more than when I was trying to be the one-man show and kind of be the hero for my business. You know, it's like, adding people who have the talents mm-hmm. and skills and capacities that are required takes it to that next level rather than you trying to do it all. Because you doing it all just makes you often, you know, stressed out and frustrated and not getting to do what your genius is more of the time. So where would you actually be willing to let go of control? Oh, there it is again.
Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And often,
yeah.
And often what shows up is amazing, right? If I didn't have
yes.
Jennifer, so many things would fall by the wayside, right? Like if I didn't have Laureen, my website products would not be what they are now. Like there would probably, yeah, half of them wouldn't be there. You know, it's like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Let people add to the project. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And if you want, listen to like people you respect and have ask, like listen to them talk about how they could create. Sarah Blakely, who is the creator of Spanx, is one of my, business mentors. And she talks about how one day she was in a business meeting with lawyers to go over contracts. And she realized she paid these people like something crazy, like $250 an hour or $300 an hour. And here she was sitting with them doing their work. And she was like, this is insane. I should not be sitting with the lawyers to do their work. They should be the one doing the work, and I just put my name on it because I chose them because I know that they'll respect what I have in mind. That really was awesome for me because as business owner, especially when it comes to legal documents, you're like, oh, I want to make sure that it's no. You've hired people. Let them do their job. This is what you hired them for. Otherwise, what's the point of having them? And that is also beautiful co-creation is when you're like, hey, if there's a word or two in there that's not mine, that's okay. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
It will work.
But, and part of that, again, has to do with letting go of control, right? And allowing it to maybe not be what you would have created, right? Like, I used to have a woman who would do my emails, and she would put, like, five exclamation points in the title. And I would change it every time. I would, like, take out those exclamation points. And then once, like, I missed it, right? And the email with all the exclamation points went out, and I looked at it, and I was like, eh, you know? And then I was like, wait, maybe today that email actually wanted those exclamation points, right? Like, my point of view, my attitude, my opinion is no exclamation points, or if there are, just one, right? But that's not to say that maybe every once in a while it really would like to have five. And that's going to create something greater.
Exactly.
So it's about, and I remember, if you haven't listened to my show with Andrea Lucas, that's aired, I think it aired again last month. She said she was in a leadership course, and they asked each of the participants to come up with an amazing idea. And so she did. She was really excited about her idea, and they said, and we're going to execute this, right? We're going to do it. And so she's super excited, and then she got to one of the classes, and they said, okay, now give your idea to someone else to do. And she was, like, crestfallen. You know, and it's really like, it's because we think we're in charge, when ultimately that one always creates the greatest. So.